Okay, Tav, starting a wonderful brand new Masechta today, Masechta Sukkah, which is basically split up in its working according to the various mitzvot of Sukkah. And it starts off with the mitzvah of the Sukkah itself, then we're going to get into the mitzvah of the Shivat HaMinim, and the mitzvah of the Arava, which is from the Nevi'im, the Simchat HaBeit HaShariva, and the Dinim of Nisuch HaMayim. Basically, the Masechta is constructed around those mitzvot. We begin with the mitzvah of the Sukkah itself, and the Sukkah basically has two components, of course. One of them is the walls that contain that hold the schach, and the other is the schach. Clearly the word sukkah comes from the same word as the schach, which would be sochet, to cover over something. And therefore, most of the dinim are actually reflected in the schach. Even dinim, which seem to have to do with the way that the sukkah is constructed along its walls, are very often dinim that affect schach rather than the wall per se, as we'll see. Says the Mishnah, sukkah shehi gvoha, l'mala mi'asrim amah psula. For some reason, a sukkah that's higher than 20 amot would be approximately 10 meters. 10 meters to maximum shear, and I mean, basically the tefach runs between 8 and close to 10, according to the various sheet of 9.6, according to the Chazanish. So we could just imagine a building of a room at a height of 10 meters. Above that, it becomes possible. This means above that, not that the walls are above that, but that it's chav above that. That makes a sukkah above that. The walls may be, in fact, very high. That's irrelevant. But Rabbi Yehuda is nonetheless makshir. The Gemara will see what possible bases are of these machlokes. She'inah gvoha asarat tefachim. Sukkah that is not 10 tefachim high. V'she'in la shalosh defanot. A sukkah that doesn't have 3 walls. V'shechamata merubah mitzilta. And that has more sun than it has shade. Being as we call the sukkah a sukkah because of the fact that it is shady. It's okay. It covers over something from the sun, as we'll see. If it has mostly sun, then basically we don't have a sukkah at all, because the little bit of shade becomes bottle, essentially, in the sun. And what we're looking at is a non-shaded area. And therefore, in all of these cases, it would be possible. Now, this bears an uncanny likeness to the Mishnah that we had back in Erevin, which was Mavui Agavor L'malam Yisri Mama, and the same Machlokas Rebut as Machshir. Really weird. But, I mean, what's interesting is that when it comes to the Mishnah in Erevin about the Mavui, over there, it does not say Mavui Shu Gavor L'Yisri Mama. It doesn't say the word pasul, it says over here. It says yimai. Lower it. What's wrong with it? You could use that word here, too. And that word is a more effective word, really, because lemaisa, why not tell us already a tikkun? Furthermore, isn't it nicer to say something positive than something negative? It's a lashon malia. It was not a lashon malia.
It's a practicality.
But saying besides the practicality, there's a practical issue, but there's also a lishna issue. We're supposed to use a finer language. It's certainly finer to say what to do about something rather than say, and throw your hand, wave your hand out and say, it's possible. Everybody's ready to say everything possible. As you say, my Rabbi Yehuda Amar, in a tzarech. Instead of Rabbi Yehuda being marshir, he says, no, you don't have to bother being my head. So the same dinim, but using different language. So Maishna Gabi Sukkah Tatani Psula, Maishna Gabi Mavui Tatani Takanta. Why then do we say what to do about the Mavui? When it comes to the Sukkah, all we say is that this is no good. Well, it's because a Sukkah, Dioraita, Tani Psula. Mavui Dirabanan Tani Takanta. When we're dealing with Sukkah, which is Dioraita, we'll see that we have a basis for the Shiur of 20 Amot in the Psukkah. So over there, yeah, is that the Sukkah? Or is that the Yuma? I put it, Sabajash already grabbed the Yuma. No, this one was yours. This is the sukkah. Huh? Oh, no, that's also the yuma. So
where's
the
Chesed Adjustment?
This is your sukkah. Did you just find that here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Would you like me to order one? No, they're too small for you.
It's a larger one right here.
Would you like me to order a sukkah like that? Does anybody, you want to just show them the Gemara that you have? If anybody is interested, it has the, I'd be happy to order it for you. I ordered it. Just as a, you know.
How much are they?
For some reason, they don't have them in Moriah.
How much are they?
The actual Gemara is 35 shekel, but the problem is that they hand deliver. They send it with a you know, delivery courier service, so it ends up being something like 50 shekel. If anybody is interested, I'll be happy to do it. All right. Getting back now. Therefore, now there's two approaches to what that means. Rashi says, and that's because Rashi's initial approach is not the approach that I took, which is Tosfos' approach, that the word lema'et is nicer and therefore ought to be used. Rashi is just coming to distinguish between the two words. Why is one saying possible? One says yema'et. So Rashi says, well, if you have an objective reference, then you can talk about measured against such a reference, this sukkah is possible. But if you don't have a reference, how can you possibly say possible? I'm coming to tell you what a mavui, actually of a mavui is. Remember that the mavui consists of a closed alleyway on three sides, into which chatzirot opened. And we made a drabonan takon in that case because of the similarity of the relationship of the chatzirot to the mavui as a relationship of, looks like a relationship of reshuta yachid to reshuta rabim. So we gave a halacha that unless you do two things. First of all, you turn that mavui into a clearly delineated private area, which is not similar to the reshuta rabim, which can be done either by putting a lechi, a pole, or a board on the side, or a board across the top, which is called the korah. And you make a shituf mevaot, which is a type of eruv between the various chatzirot. If you don't do those two things, you can't carry from the chatzirot into the mavui. And if you don't put up your korah, then you can't. Then you have to treat the mavui as if it's a reshuta rabim as well. So here, what is this, the shiur of that pole that you put up on top, the korah? Well, I don't know. I'm coming to define it for you in this mission, right? Zakatei is psula. Psula means there exists a body of laws against which I can now measure the din of mavui and say this mavui is possible based on those laws. The laws don't yet exist. I'm coming to define the mavui in the Mishnah. So how can I say pasul? This is what a mavui is. Requires something within 20 amot, and if it's higher than that, you'll have to put it down within 20 amot, right? Okay, now I can start talking about it as being pasul. I can't start off with the word pasul. So this is Rashi's simple approach because he didn't see any advantage to the language of one over the other. Tosfos, who sees the advantage in the word yama'et over the word pasul, has to explain it differently, because this doesn't answer why I would choose pasul over yama'et if I could have said yama'et. Therefore, Tosfos understands that what the Gemara is saying is that since what we're dealing with the sukkah is a dioraita, I am concerned that if I said the word yama'et, it sounds like I'm telling you lechatchila. Okay, if it's higher, you should put it down. All right, tomorrow I'll put it down. But now that you're telling me that it's pasul b'diavad and that this is not a kosher sukkah, in order to avoid that misunderstanding, since I'm dealing with the dioraita, I have no choice but to say pasul, because otherwise it'll be too confusing. Mashein king, where I don't have to worry about that, because the whole pasul is only mirabana. So over there, I'd rather use the word yema'et, which is a takana, telling me what to do, instead of simply telling me something is no good. There's two very different approaches here to the whole sugya between Rashi and those. So that's one possibility. So therefore, the sukkah, which is dioraita, I have to tell you psula to make sure it's clear. Or, according to Rashi, I can tell you psula because I have an objective reference. Mavui de rabbanan tanitakanta, because I'd rather tell you what to do if I'm not concerned with your getting confused, according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, because I'm coming here to teach you the halakha for the first time. So therefore, this is all that I can say. Now, it's also possible to say that I have no objection. I would have said in the dioraita nami tanitakan. There's no objection to saying what to do, and I'm not really concerned, according to Tosfos, not concerned about getting confused, even though it's talking about a dioraita, maybe it's only a lechatchila, or according to Rashi, there'd be no advantage, and maybe it would be more useful to say a takanta. But there's a reason. Even if I assume that it would be better to say takanta, this would be the way Rashi would see the Ibaitema. Sukkah, I can't say a takana. Compare the two Mishnayim. The Mishnah in Eruvin about Mavui discusses one item and one item only. How high is the Korah? The Mishnah here in Sukkah discusses how high, how low, how many, and how much sun. Now, if I'm going to start telling you on every one of those four things, a takana, I'm going to have an extremely unwieldy Mishnah. So I'm going to have to say, Sukkah shekavo lamala miyasrama, yima'et. She'ina gavo asar tvachim, yagbiya. She'in la shalosh fanot, yivne odofen. Shamatam rubam itzelta, yosif latzchach. So since I have four different issues, I say, I keep it simple. I keep it simple by saying, okay, psula, figure out yourself what to do. But, I could use the same word, yema'et, in place of psula. Certainly, I'd prefer to do that, according to this lush. So that would be the difference between the two lushana. So let's see that inside. Truth is, again, according to Rashi, that would mean, I would indeed prefer to tell you what to do, rather than just shout that something's no good. Or, according to Tosfos, that I always know, but that even in the Yoraita, I'm not concerned with the fact that maybe someone will misunderstand a takanta as being a suggestion rather than an absolute. Nonetheless, mil. Sukkah, the nefishin mila, where we have so much different issues to discuss in one mission, four different parameters that need to be addressed. So I'm talking about the height, I'm talking about how close to the ground it is, I'm talking about whether there's a particular number of walls, and I'm talking about how much shade there is. So I have to use one word that covers all those options. Therefore, pasul ketani psula. I just say the word pasul. Each parameter, of course, will require a separate tikkun. Mavoi de lo nafish mile. Mavoi, we're all discussing is the height. There, it's very simple to be done in takanta. Getting back now to the idea, though, where does this come from? Like, we pick out a value from the hat. Esri Mama. Why Esri Mama? What is it? I mean, who ever heard of Esri Mama anyway, you know? But I understand that Sarah Tochim, there's Dinam of Machitzas, and Shabbos, and so on. We've heard words like that before. But 20 Amot, that doesn't seem to be based on anything particular. So, Minan Emile, where do we get that from? Omar Rabba. Yomar Kro, Leman Yedu Dorotechem, Ki Basukot Oshavti Bnei Yisrael. I understand that pasuk to mean, says Rabba. Two things. Obviously, the simple meaning of the pasuk is, I am giving you this mitzvah so that generations to come should know of the events that took place in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael were put in Izanane HaKavod, and whatever it means, but it's a historical reference. That's certainly the pashtus of the meaning of the pasuk. However, says Rabba, there's also, the way to read the pasuk is, Yed'u dorotechem ki basukot oshavti. Namely, the mitzvah that I do hereby give you, that you must be yoshev in a sukkah, it has to be done in a way that allows you to be aware, yedu, that you are aware of that fact. In order to be aware of that fact, I need to constantly be in range of viewing the sukkah. Otherwise, why would I be aware of the fact? And therefore, ad esri mama, adam yodea shudar besukkah. Since the meaning of the pasuk is that you should be conscious of the fact that you're in the sukkah, what would lead you to be so conscious? Your eye is certainly not drawn up to move your whole head up to try to look at what you're sitting in. So basically, you tend to just see the walls around you. As far as you're concerned, you're sitting in a room. Why would you think of it as a sukkah particularly? And therefore, we analyze what that shiur is, and we take it as Esrim Amah. Now we'll see that, of course, this ought to mean that it would vary according to the construction of the sukkah. I mean, you could certainly conceive that maybe the length of the sukkah would be different, or perhaps if you had neon arrows that point up, you know, on the wall, look up, then maybe that would be kosher. No, seriously, because then you would
science, half above.
It's something that draws your eyes. I mean,
the height of the person
wouldn't matter much. Sitting in your sukkah, but we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Zera Amar Miyach. Rabbi Zera takes a completely different approach. He says, "Look, what is a sukkah after all? I mean, if we take a look at the word sukkah, we find it referenced in Yeshayahu, describing the Acharit Hayamim and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect us, and so on, of the Inyonim and the Yomadin. So it says, "V'sukkah tiyel etzel yomam mechorev." That the sukkah will provide shade in the day from the intense heat, and continues to sail the mistor, mizerem, ligatar, but also shield you from the storms of time. I'm quoting the rest of the pasuk because we're going to have to deal with that as well. So, ad esrim amah, adam yoshev betzel sukkah. That means that the pasuk is insisting that the word sukkah provides for shade from the sun of the day. So, until that moment, ad esrim amah, adam yoshev betzel sukkah. But lamala me esrim amah, in adam yoshev betzel sukkah, ela betzel bifan alav. Above 20 amot, you are no longer being shielded from the sun by the schach. You are being shielded by the wall. And therefore, the schach does not really provide the tzel yomam. Let's first finish the Gemara on this issue before asking the obvious question. Are you trying to tell me that someone who builds a sukkah at the bottom of the Grand Canyon is definitely possible, because after all, the sides of the canyon are providing the shade and not the sukkah. And therefore, it's not a kosher sukkah. I mean, isn't that ridiculous? You're going to tell me now that I have to take a look at what area I'm building my sukkah. So, okay, now I'm going to have a sukkah? Saying that, that's not a kosher sukkah. Oh, my baby. Said Rabbi Zeir, what kind of question is that? We're talking about the sukkah, not circumstances. Hatam dalash darot kanayim iket sel sukkah. That's just a coincidental issue, right? It's incidental to the din of the sukkah where I happen to take away the canyon, and now you've got to decide, is what I'm looking at a shade-providing cover? Yes, it is. Therefore, it's kosher. But over here, if I take away the tfanot, now let's just see that. Does that provide shade? Leket sel sukkah doesn't provide shade. Of course, the obvious question is, what is that supposed to mean? It doesn't provide shade. Obviously, it provides shade. If you take the sun, and the sun is above you, and you put something there, it provides shade. How could it not provide shade?
Short amount of time.
Whatever. So, I mean, the Rishonim talk about this issue of the Rivot. Says, well, during the days of Sukkot, which was Tishrei, the sun is never directly above. It's always to an angle. And therefore, it doesn't provide shade on the ground. It does provide shade on the ground. Others learn that that too should be something of a function of the interrelationship of the width and so on, which we'll see in the Gemara whether that indeed is an issue. But others learn that it may well be that there's shade. However, the light that's coming in already from the sides of the circa, the shade that's provided by something that is that high above the ground, when it's exposed to an open edge all around, and we'll see that there is, in fact, a limitation to how wide the circa could be for this to be a problem. Certainly, if it's a block-wide circa, then the fact that there's no walls on the edge is going to make absolutely no difference when you're sitting in the middle. And we'll see that this indeed is taken into consideration this year. But that assuming that we're dealing with a minimal size circa, then the lack of the walls, had I taken away the walls, would basically have wiped out the value of the shade because there'd be so much light falling from the sides. I have an interesting approach. But, I mean, I didn't see it anywhere. It's, but if you think about Avraham Avinu, he was sitting in the shade, basically, at his door. Why was he sitting in the shade? Because it says, B'chom Hayom. But that's exactly what it says over here. So it's the same language. Letzel Yomam Mikore. Chazal Darshan, that has to mean at a time. Darshan Legati Gaman, actually. That's a time which is not Chatzos. It's the time of the day in which the sun now is basically starting to really beat down on you. So that's Arba Shosh, not Chatzos. In which case, it really wouldn't be above. I would explain the Ritva without needing to come out to teach it, and so on. Well, it's an interesting approach. Right? It's the same thing. But in any event...
Avram was sitting there in Nisan.
Avram
was sitting by Nisan.
Yeah, but we're talking about the time of the day. And then it doesn't matter what time of the year it is. The time of the day will never be directly overhead at Arba Shosh. It was the opposite side. I mean, the opposite side of the solar system. But I mean, it doesn't matter. It's all kinds of purposes. Okay. So in any event, we'll see that this is clearly going to be in a very limited circumstance that we have this problem. Okay. This is the second approach. So approach number. It's important to remember the names of the approaches because we're going to be going through them afterwards to explain why we don't agree on all of them. So Rabba's approach is the need for awareness of the fact that you're in the sukkah. You need to be looking at the schach. Rabbi Zera's approach is, schach is tzel, above 20 amot, you're not sitting in the tzel of the schach. Rava's approach is, Rav Amar Miocha. Basukot teshvu shivat yamim. That means, sukkot of shivat yamim. Not sukkot that are permanent. So Amrat Torah, kol shivat yamim, tse midirat kva, v'shev midirat arai. Torah wants you to leave your home. What defines leaving your home? Sitting in something which is a home suitable for 7 days, but which no one would live in all year round. Which means that it has to be basically a shack of some kind. And therefore, ad esrim adamot sedirato dirat arai. When the shack is up to 20 amot, you build it as a shack. But once it's lamala mi esrim ama, once it's higher than esrim ama, in adamot sedirato dirat arai, ela dirat kva, a building like that is built with much more solid walls and the infrastructure to hold those walls up. You can't simply slam together something which is that high and expect it to even be a sukkah shiva. Omalei Abaya, come on. I mean, you're telling me, me'ata samechitzot shel barzel. So that if I make a sukkah, a steel sukkah, it's possible. I mean, nobody ever heard of such a thing. So if you take a steel sukkah, v'sichach agava, so you're telling me that that's not a sukkah because it's too permanent. Omar Lay, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about not the reality of whether it is permanent or not. I view what the Pasuk is saying as an indication of the requirements that would apply across the board to any sukkah. Not that, again, that's incidental. That's Ashtarot Karnayim. You're telling me I happen to make it out of steel. Okay, what do I care what you happen to make it out of? But the Pasuk is trying to define a particular parameter. So it's saying the sukkah that would be possibly made as a Dirat Arai. So it's the type of building that could be a temporary building. The fact that you made it stronger is not my problem. But if it's a building that cannot be a temporary building, then it becomes actually an essential question, not just an incidental question. There's no such thing as a sukkah, l'mala mi'asri ma'ama. That is a sukkah that is defined almost as a permanent building. That's the way people would build it. So hakika, I mean, what I'm trying to tell you is that ad asri ma'ama de'adamo sedirato dirat arai, where the norm is that you can make a shack up until that size and just put it together in a haphazard fashion. So kiyovid le dirat kva, not enough. Even though you happen to make it out of steel, it's still the yotze. But lamalam yesri ma'ama, where the norm is that adamo sedirato dirat kva, so then even though you manage to make it a haphazard collection of boards and put it together to that height, even though you made it to dirat arai, not enough. It would not be yotze. So that means we have now three approaches. The first two approaches are focused on the problem of the schach, either the schach in terms of tail, or the schach in terms of your awareness that you're sitting under it. And the third approach, Rava's approach, is focused apparently on the type of construction. There seems to be a problem in the difanot. There may well be important differences between them. Because remember that schach, even if you change the schach so that it becomes kosher because of outside circumstances, you run into a problem of tasev elumina asui. So if you would fix the schach, you'd have to pick it up a little bit and put it back down again, so that now it would be schach that's made kosher. Problems with tvanot do not involve tasev elumina asui, because that's not al-shem schach. It's not called al-shem schach, so it doesn't have to be al-chila built for zuk at all. So we'll see whether, in fact, this would be a meaningful distinction. Now let's explain the advantages of each of these approaches. Kulu karaba lo amrei. Rava's approach seems to have arbitrarily taken the pasuk out of its simple meaning. Laman yedudo rotechem. Rava's approach is you have to be aware of the fact that you're sitting under the sun. Certainly anybody who reads the pasuk understands that the pasuk is telling us that in future generations we expect a historical acknowledgement of the fact that there were sukkot. You do not have to be aware at every moment that you're sitting in a sukkah to be aware of the fact that you just spent 3 days banging together boards, putting together. I mean, everybody's going to know after sukkahs that laman yedudo rotechem. I know. That's all we've been doing, running around paying $100 for fruits at the time. I know, believe me, I know. So that's the simple meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk is saying, every moment that you sit in the sukkah, you have to be aware of the fact that this is the sukkah that I commanded you to sit in.
You don't have any?
We don't even need the pasuk, according to Bob. Therefore, we don't like Rabba's approach, because Kula Karaba lo Amri, the rest of us, just the other two approaches, in other words, Reb Zera and Rabba disagree with Rabba. Why? Because the meaning of Laman Yedu is Yediyah LeDorot. It's not the Yediyah to the individual who's being Mekayim the Mitzvah at that time. By the way, I just want you to note that in the Rashi of Laman Yedu, Rashi very, very consciously leaves out the word Lama'an. Because Lama'an is there as the historical awareness, so that it shall be achieved. If, on the other hand, I'm giving you the mitzvah now, Hoshavti, I am telling you, Yedu Dorotechem Ki Hoshavti. That's a different drosha. For some reason, there are some portion who do not understand the Rashi. I think the reason they do not understand the Rashi is because the Rashi in the Rif mistakenly puts in the word Laman. Because of that, they try to fix the Rashi here to put in Laman. The whole point that Rashi is making is ignore the Laman and look at the way Rabba is darshaning the pasuk as Yedu Dorotechem, that this mitzvah Hoshavti, I told them they have to sit here with that knowledge. Okay? The simple meaning of the pasuk is in order to achieve Laman Yedu, in order to achieve a historical awareness. Now, Rabbi Zera. Why don't we like Rabbi Zera's approach that he sees in Yeshayahu a reference to a sukkah as something that provides shade? Rabbi Zera, no, I mean, that wasn't talking about sukkahs. Come on, that was talking about a construct in Yomot HaMashiach that is meant to protect us from Milchemet Gog and Magog and from the Tzoris Bizman HaMashiach. What does it have to do with the sukkah of the sukkah Zachag? What does that have to do with the sukkah of the mitzvah? The idea of that sukkah was a Kadosh Baruch Hu's protection of us again. Says Rabbi Zev, that's true. But if that's the whole issue, then it would make far more sense to speak about a chuppah rather than a sukkah. Because when you're trying to make a reference to a Gan Eden type of sense, God's protection and sitting in the presence of the Shekhinah, that's usually what it is, chuppah. Talk about Olam Haba in terms of chuppah. It's a happy thing. So leimakra, the chuppah, why not say? The chuppot in those days will be letzel yomam. Why you say sukkah? You have letzel yomam because you're being meranes, the dinim of sukkah mitzvah, of sukkah shokah. If I learn out both things, Shmat not Tarte. Tosfos has a fascinating point, which is, if you're telling me we don't care, the way he's explaining it, we don't care whether the sukkah is or is not permanent. We're reading the word, the sukkah of Shiva. Right? It has to be royal issue. That's the approach that we're about to analyze. Rava's approach. So that would mean you make a steel sukkah, there'd be no problem. What would be wrong, then, in making a very fine protective roof of shingles, little pieces of wood that make sure that it doesn't rain into your sukkah and so on, and that would be great. What are you going to say? Well, that's not a sukkah, that's permanent. Excuse me, that's exactly what Rava said is okay. I don't care whether this particular sukkah is permanent. I only care that it's of the type of construction that could be impermanent, that generally would be made impermanent. So what do you care if you make a sukkah that's essentially complete protection? How do I know that that's not a good idea? I know because the Gemara says that if it rains during Sukkot, it's a simen klala. Why? Because it's like God throwing the water back at you, so to speak. The Eved brings a cup of water and throws it in his face. very interesting question. So you have a permanent sukkah, so what's a bit? So you'll say, so by the same token, I mean, what are you going to say? So I might as well stay in home. When I have a home that has shingles, you know, or a wooden roof, so that's kosher. So why bother going out to the sukkah at all? Why might as well just, I mean, lots of people just pull up the thing in their house. Why bother pulling it up? Just make it permanent and live in it all the time. After all, it doesn't matter if it's permanent. That's what you said. It only matters it should be the word permanent. And impermanent is a reference to how high it can be. That's how Rava's understanding it. So let me just build my sukkah permanently in my house. It'll be my living room. And when it comes to sukkahs, I'll say, I hereby dub the sukkah. It should be completely kosher. So Tosfos says, and don't try to tell me that the idea over here is this gezerah. I mean, you're going to tell me that there's a gezerah. We know later on there are gezerahs, so people will get confused because you certainly can't have your house. Because the Torah specifically said to get out of your house. That's the idea. You have to sit in something other than your house. Okay, fine. I understand that. So you're going to say this would be a gezerah to make a sukkah with shingles. It's a gezerah. People think they might as well stay at home. Even if that's true, it's only Durabanan. So what are you going to say? You're going to say that it's a simen kolola be'etzem because we're such good people that we're keeping the rabbanon, so it's a simen kolola that it rains. So because of our rabbanon, it was possible. I mean, it's almost a contradiction in terms. You know, God says, I'll look, it's pouring on you. See, ha ha, your sukkah is not going to make it. What do you mean? We're being machmir. So I mean, it's an interesting question. Tosfos says that the question of kva and arai that we're talking about over here is only in terms of the tarnot. Everybody is moded that the meaning of sukkah, tzchach, is impermanent covering. I don't need this business about the shivat yamim, b'sukkot keshvu shivat yamim. That's the sense of tzchach itself, as opposed to a gag, or as opposed to a tikra. So of course the tzchach can't be permanent, that's for sure. That's the whole point of the sukkah. So there we don't have a question, we're only dealing with the wall. That's the point, and therefore it relates to the question we said before, is this absul in the walls or not? For instance, so as the walls indeed are very high, according to Rava, and they put the stock down in the middle of those walls, what about then? It's not Lamala Miyasramama, but the walls themselves are Lamala Miyasramama. Would that be a problem? That's crazy. I'm certainly talking about the relationship of the wall. So okay, you might as well ignore the part. I'll talk about the schach, which is if it doesn't exist. Schach is in the middle, at 10 amas. The sides keep on going up. Is that a problem? I mean, clearly, the sukkah is defined by the part of the walls that control the sukkah. We could care less about anything above it, right? We wouldn't be. It would be like Ashtarot Karnayim. Yeah. So it's going to be madra all of these issues. What do we mean by walls? Not the particular construct that happens to be there. We mean by walls the relationship between a mechitza and a sukkah that's supported. As a matter of fact, it doesn't even have to be supported. The sukkah that's within those mechitza. Okay, well, we'll see all of these issues as this paragraph goes on, but I'm just raising them now so we should realize what's happening later. So what's wrong with this pshat? Kirava namilo army, the reason we don't like the pshat of Rava, that it has to do with how permanent the walls are, is precisely because of Abaya's question. Abaya pointed out that you are arbitrarily taking the pusik and saying, the pusik means an abstraction called height. Now, how do you know that? Nobody ever suggested that a steel sukkah is possible. You agree. So what does the pasuk mean? The pasuk is giving us some type of definition, an abstract definition, a building that could be the shivasya. I mean, why? Who says? That question is a very powerful question. Rava's answer strikes us as being rather arbitrary. But as Tosfos points out, we could have said the same thing about Rebbe Zeira. What about the kasha about Ashtarot Karnayim? The reason we don't say that we don't like that is because it's such a good answer. Dal Ashtarot Karnayim is obvious. A child could see that answer. But to make Rava's explanation of the pasuk that the pasuk is talking about an abstract consideration of height, and that's what is the meaning of the word arai or kva, that seems very far-fetched. And therefore, it's enough of a reason to reject Rava's pshat. So these are our three pshat. Now, there is an additional point that needs to be taken into consideration. Take a look at this. And who do you think he was going according to? Kaman azahadam Rabbi Yoshi Amar Rav. We have this minor quoting Rav that the whole machlokis in our Mishnah about whether Lamala Miyasrim Amma is kosher between the Chachonim and Rabbi Yehuda is machloket b'she'en tfanot magiot l'schach. The argument is only if the walls don't go all the way up to the top. But if the walls go all the way up to the top, it would be kosher even Lamala Miyasrim Amma. Now why the heck would it make a difference whether the walls go up to the schach? There's only one possibility. If the walls go all the way up to the schach, they draw your eyes upward, which is the equivalent of those little neon lights that force you to note that you are basically in a sukkah. So if you're, because generally speaking, you do find your eyes wandering up the edge of a wall just to note where you are. If you, subconsciously, your eyes are going up, and they hit the top of the wall, they don't keep looking. In other words, your brain registers the edge of the bechitza, and that's it. Your curiosity is satisfied. Exactly the same reason when you're walking down the street, you don't crane your neck to look all the way upwards unless somebody else is doing it. Okay. And then everybody has to do it also. But otherwise, there's nothing that stimulates me to make sure that I have all the information. I assume I have the information. So if the walls go all the way up to the sky, I will end up finding out that I'm in a sukkah. But this only works if that's the problem. So that means that Rav, Rav Yosha, quoting Rav, is basically only going like Rava. Kemaim, Kerava, can only be because of Rava. Because what he was saying is the problem is awareness. And it's Mishum de lo shalto ba'inas, because my eye doesn't see the schach. But once the tfanot megiot the schach, then I keep looking up until I get to the top. And over there, Mishlat shalto ba'ina, my eye, in fact, does become aware of my sitting in a circle. And how about this other limitation that we didn't speak about? Here Rav is quoted as saying there's another issue. The machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is dafka on a minimal size sukkah. A sukkah which is 4 amot by 4 amot. But if it's larger than that, yesh ba yoter mi 4 amot, even if it's more than esrim amot k'sheira. Now why would that be? Well, that would make sense according to Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera says that the issue is how much shade you're getting. And that, of course, would be the relationship between the height and the width. Because once the width is beyond a certain amount, I don't care how high it is, it's going to still be casting shade. Certainly a sukkah that's a block wide is going to be casting shade, even if it's very high. So therefore, the Mishnah, I understand, is referring to an assumed width. The assumed width would be the standardized width of a sukkah, which is 4 by 4, as we'll see. And it's only in that particular case that we worry about the height, because then you'll have a problem in that particular. Such a high sukkah, and with such a small amount of space, will not be providing enough light on the bottom, because the light will tend to expand, and will blot out, basically, the amount of shade that you've got. So, mamela, it's possible, but that's Rav Zera. Nobody else took into consideration how much shade you're getting down there. So, mamela, that, Rav, seems to be going out liba to Rabbi Zera, Domer Mishum Tzel. Rabbi Zera's approach is that the whole problem here is a problem in shading. And Kima de Ravicha, since you've got that much width, you could sell circus. Even Rabbi Zera would have to agree in that case, you've got enough shade of yourself. Okay, there's another such approach that claims that the machlokes tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is limited to a particular case. Keman azahad yom Rav Chanan bar Rava amar Rav. Again, Rav is quoted. Everybody's quoting Rav in a different way. So again, Rav is quoted as saying the machlokes is not across the board between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. The machlokes is limited to a case where the sukkah is so small that it only manages to fit in your head, most of your body. Remember, the way that they ate was generally leaning, so most of your body could fit in, and a table. But if it would be larger than that, then it is difficult to believe that it makes a nafka mina in terms of shading, that it should be slightly larger than that. So, therefore, kiman delo kechad. I mean, here, certainly it has nothing to do with Mishlat Shalot Ba'ina. Certainly, it doesn't seem to relate to the question of shading, because that's just too small of an area to make a difference in terms of shade, even if it was a little larger than that. The relationship between this size, which is basically 7 tefachim, as we'll see by 7 tefachim, and the size of the Arba Amot that we were discussing early, is not sufficient to justify saying that Rabbi Zera, in this case, would have said there's no problem of shade. Same problem. So apparently he's taking into consideration some new explanation which we have not thought of. An explanation that indeed would revolve around something of this size. Now Tosfos says some suggest that that explanation may be, and this is another issue of the sukkah that we haven't noted yet, which is important, and that is the sukkah needs to be a dira. When the Torah said, the sukkot teshvu, we're going to dash in all types of ways, you have to live in it as if it's a home. That's the reason, for instance, if you've got branches sticking down from your schach into the sukkah, it's not kosher. Because people don't live in homes where they bang their head all the time against things hanging from the ceiling. That's the reason a sukkah that's not 10 tefachim high is not a sukkah. Says Tosis, maybe something that is shaped like this is basically a chicken coop, not a house. And people don't live in chicken coops. What does this mean? It means, well, I'm living in a chimney. I have this thing sticking up all the way high, 20 on, and it's not larger than 7 by 7.
You live in a place like Shavarubo.
No, Shavarubo is inhabitable. But not, I mean, there's also a psychological element. It's like I feel like I'm Santa Claus here all the time. So if it's slightly larger, that's what he suggests. But I'm using this as an example to how far-fetched this other approach may be. Let's forget about all the above issues, about the awareness or about the sale or about the heavy-duty walls or anything of the sort. It may be completely different factors we haven't taken into consideration. And in fact, it must be, according to this approach of Rav, we just haven't come up with the other possible explanations for the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan in our mission. Now, let's just point out there's major differences between these three quotes of Rav. In other words, the case of Rabbi Yoshia, I mean, he argues on Rav Huna and Rav Chana Bar Rav because he does not give any measurement that have to do with the width of the sukkah. He's only interested in whether the walls reach the schach or not. He introduces a completely new issue, nothing to do with the size of the sukkah. So he argues of them, Pligiyah Rav Huna, Rav Chana Bar Rav, because he holds that there is no element of width that would change our equation, and they do. So that's definitely, those are the two major differences in Rav's quotes here. And that is clear to me. He doesn't give any distinctions in how wide the sukkah is. What, however, is really the machlokas Rav Huna and Rav Chanan Bar Rav? I mean, it's difficult to say that they would simply pick this shear out of a hat. 4x4, 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim, Rosho Rubo Vishulchono. I mean, where is that coming from? Is it possible to say the name of the Hechsher Sukkah Kavivogay, that indeed we have over here a early introduction as built around our Mishnah about what constitutes a kosher sukkah? In other words, both are saying, look, for whatever reason, the issue is, the Machloket and the Mishnah is speaking about a particular case. What would that particular case be? Standard sukkah. What is a standard sukkah? Says one man yomer, standard sukkah is 4 amot by 4 amot. Says the other man yomer, standard sukkah is Rosh HaRuba V'Shulchana. That's a very logical approach to the differences, right? Because, I mean, to make it dependent on the particular machlokas, you know, is there tzel, or does it look like a chicken coop, or do I feel like Santa Claus? It's too precise. You're like reading too many things into a Mishnah, unless this is the standard value. Now, then I have absolutely every right in the world to say the Mishnah could have been referring to a standard value sukkah. So maybe that's good for the machlokas. Mar sabra hechsher sukkah b'arbamot. Mar sabra hechsher sukkah b'matzneket rosh v'rubah v'shulchana. Maybe we should come to the conclusion that indeed from here there is a machloket in Rav, in quotes of Rav, as to what the shear of a sukkah is. Says, well, you could say that, but there's certainly no need to say that. You could say that everybody agrees that a sukkah would be kosher if it's rosh v'rubah v'shulchana. And yet we're arguing over here precisely in what the element was that Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim were arguing about. So, Balka Balka Mifuge. Mar Sover Mamachzeket Rosh Verubo Vishulchono Plige, for whatever reason, maybe the chicken coop idea. Avo Yoter Mirosh Verubo Vishulchono Divya Kok Sheira. Umar Sover Mirosh Verubo Vishulchono, which is the minimal circuit. Ad Arba Amot. And Arba Amot is certainly not plucked out of a hat, because Arba Amot is the standard that we have for inhabitation, permanent inhabitation, for when it comes to making a chalukah and a chotzer, for giving a doorway to a bayit and a chotzer, for making a place, giving it a halacha of a bayit in terms of mezuzah, all types of dinim. So fine, maybe there's a standardized sukkah, and yet we can say that the Mishnah is not talking about standardized sukkah, it's talking about standardized bayit. Because indeed the question is a question of tzel, as we said earlier in Rabbi Zeira. But how do you know that necessarily everybody's agreed that the standard, I mean that they're arguing as to whether the standard sukkah is Arba Amot? Maybe that the only question is the difference between those two shiurim. Standard sukkah, standard bayit, and Yotemi Arba Amot, Divrei HaKok, Sheira. That both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan are made that the sukkah to be kosher on more. Now, we have a fascinating example of a sukkah that seems to present a problem, a historically well-known sukkah. We don't know of many sukkahs that were built 1,000 years ago, but we have an example of a sukkah that, in fact, is nearly 2,000 years old, and let's take a look at the implications it has for these halachos. Sukkah shehi gavoa l'malam yasrim amah psula, Rabbi Yehuda machshir, and he says it can be 40 amas high, 50 amas high. Says Rabbi Yehuda, how about the sukkah of Alini Amalka in Lud? Everybody knows that sukkah. So that's where Alini Amalka had her vacation sukkah. And it was higher than yasrim amah. And all the chachamim of the door would go in there and say good yontif and walk in. They would nichnasim, yotzim l'sham. And do you think everybody once told her and said, our dear Queen Helena, this is Apostle Sukkah? No, they sat down, they're having themselves a little schnapps. I mean, come on. So, lo amru lo davar, amru lo mishomra, yeah, well, they got to tell a woman her sukkah is partial. She's not chayiv in the sukkah anyway. You think they ate a meal in the sukkah? If they have a drink of schnapps, it proves something. So, mishomra, no? So, mishomra, yeah, ishaita, upturam in the sukkah. Amar lahem, what do you mean, says Rabbi Yehuda? But how about her seven sons who were sitting at the table? She demanded her husband years before. So, hello, Shiva Banim Ayula. And besides, Koma Asea Lo Astela El Al Pi Chachami. She always listened to the Chachami. What does that have to do with it? Why'd you throw in that piece? I mean, if she's. What do you mean, Velo Oud? Normally, Mitvot, Koma Asea Lo Al Pi Chachami. No, I'm saying, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm saying to you, and don't try to tell me that her kids were too young. So therefore, what the Chachomim were going to tell the kids, hey, kid, he's 8 years old, hey, kid, make sure that your mother builds you a better sukkah. I mean, that's, maybe they were too young. So you told me you're building ketanim? Ketanim are part of a sukkah. Hold on a second. It's not so posh. How old does a child have to be in order to be required to sit in a sukkah? Mitamechinuk. Not very old. If she had seven sons, we assume, I mean, they weren't over here all twins, certainly not septuplets, I mean, even if they were born one after the other. There must have been one that was old enough that he's the age where he no longer screams mommy when he wakes up in the middle of the night. That's right. So you'll say so, but it's still only min Rabbana. So maybe they didn't tell her because she doesn't listen to the Rabbana. So chitaymer kata chena tzarich min min Rabbana or the mechayim. And maybe the Rabbana didn't want to embarrass themselves, saying they would have said, "Hey, rabbis, cut it out. I know what it says in the Bible." So it's min Rabbana or mechayim. Iyo min Rabbana lo mashka. Maybe she pays no attention to Rabbana. Therefore, I'm telling you, koma asea lo astar al pi chachami. So why didn't anybody say anything? Because it was kosher, which is what I say, says Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't matter how tall it is. Now, if you hold, like the Mandiomara says over here, b'she'ein tfanot magiot v'schach machloket. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim only argue where the walls didn't reach the schach. In which case, if Rabbi Yehuda is trying to prove something from Helene's sukkah, he'd only be able to prove it if in Helene's sukkah the walls didn't reach the schach. Because otherwise, supposedly, he also agrees, right? The walls reach the schach. The Rabbanan Amin also agreed that it could be Lamana Miasabam. What's the proof? So it could well be, indeed, that the walls of Helene's sukkah didn't reach the schach. Why? Because it was air conditioned. So you could say that Darka Shel Malka Leishev Besukash Ain't Fanot Mingyot Schach Bishum Avira. I mean, where else are you going to have the air conditioning vents? So they have to be up on top. So you have the air coming through. So fine. So Rabbi Yehuda says, look, you see, it wasn't Shalta Ba'ina, because you didn't look up to the sack. Nonetheless, it was kosher. And the Chachamim had to say, look, that's a problem. Well, whatever. But according to the Mandiyamah, who just said, the only machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is if it's in a tiny sukkah. You're telling me that she was sitting in a tiny sukkah? Helene Amalka was sitting in a tiny sukkah where everybody was coming in and saying gajanta, but they could barely fit into the room. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Darkish Amalka, Leisha, Besukkah, Katana, Elamaisha was sitting in a large sukkah. And nonetheless, Rabbi Yehuda is proving his shita, even though it was a large sukkah. So how do we explain the fact that supposedly Rav said there's no machlokas if it's a large sukkah, it's only if it's a small sukkah? Then how's Rabbi Yehuda proving his point? This wasn't a small sukkah. We seem to have disproved both other approaches in Rav. Both approaches that claim that there's a shear in the width of the sukkah about which Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanu were arguing. Amar Rabba Bar Ada, this is not, look, there was a lot of room in her sukkah. But, I mean, it was split up into different rooms. It's a giant sukkah. But, I mean, it had waiting rooms and had serving rooms. And so it was asuya kitoniot, kitoniot. And within each kitoniot, it was small. Are you trying to tell me that a malka, who's got hundreds of people visiting her, splits it up into tiny cubicles and sits with different people in different cubicles? But Darkasha Malkovesha Basuka Suyaki Toniot Kitoniot. Obviously there was a beautiful large hall in which she would basically meet everyone. Amravashi, yes, that's true. However, there were certainly places where she would go for privacy. And that's the raya that we're trying to bring. Lonischa el Likitoniut Shabbat. We're talking about, but what about in the private rooms? So Rabban and Sabre. But that Bonel Besuka Malyavi. Therefore the Rabban and Arg and Rabbi Yehuda say, look, what was going on in Helini's sukkah was that the kids would remain in the main dining area, which was big. Since it's big, who cares how high it is? We just said that if it's big, it doesn't matter if it's higher. So therefore, what was the problem? That Helini herself didn't want to be exposed to the public very often. She would retire to her private chambers, which was very small. Good, so she's a woman. Why do I have to tell her anything? Mishumachi lo amri lo davar. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, but the kids would come into her, and they would eat sometimes in private, and gaba havayatvi, bafilo hachi lo amri lo davar. Apparently they didn't say anything to her either, even though the kids were there. Rashi says, but still, if it's only Mazik Rosha Rubo Vishulchano, how would she get the kids in the sukkah? So according to that shita in Rav, it still doesn't make sense to say these words, right? That the children were sitting in a sukkah that was Rosha Rubo Vishulchano. How did they do that? Rashi suggests that Enochinami, this teretz is not, certainly not going according to Rav Chanan, who says it's the seven by the Rosh Aruba V'Shulchanah. It's only going according to the Arba Ames, Arba Ames. We're not attempting to explain the Machlokas Aliva the Rav Chana. Okay, very nice. That's right. Sukashi gvala malam yetzimam apsula rabbi namachu shenigvara sarat vakam shana shalish fana shishkama samruba mitzil tapsula. Then even if Avid Dirat Kva, nami nothing. But the Malam Yasrima Ma, where the norm is that Adam Sedirato Dirat Kva, Ki Avid Dirat Arai, nami lo nothing. Now, Kulo Karabalo Amre, because Laman Yedu Dorotechem is Mashva Yediyala Dorot, not to the person in the Sukkah. Karebizera nami lo Amre about the Sukkah that sell your mom, that's referring to Messianic times. Rabbi Zera says that's true, but it could have said v'chupati alatzel yomam. Why does it say v'sukati alatzel yomam? Shvamin atarte. Kirov adami lo amre, that it has to do with how high and how thick the walls will have to be to make it that high. Mishum kusha de abaye. Now, command as adam Rabbi Yosheo Merav, machloket b'she'in tfanot magiot b'schach. Tfanot magiot b'schach, afilo lamalam yesmah makshera. כמען כרבה דיונו משלוש שעות הבאינה, וכיוון לדפנות מגיעות לשחק משלוש שעות הבאינה. כמען אז לא הודיע אמרו ונאמר רב מחלוק בשעין בעל 400 על 400, אבל יש בו יותר מ-400 על 400, אפילו מעלה מהסביבה מקשרה. כמען כרבי זירה, דיונו משום צל, וכיוון דרביכה איקה צל סוכה. כמען אז לא הודיע אמרו חנה ברב ואמר רב מחלוק בשעין המחזקת על כדי ראשו ולובו ושולחנו, אבא מחזקת יותר מכדי ראשו ולובו ושולחנו, אפילו למעלה מהסביבה מקשרה. כמען דלא כחד. ספישלי מדרב יושר, פליגי דרבונו ורב חנה ברב, דהינו כיאב שיעור בבש, חביאו לא כיאב שיעור בבש. דרבונו רב חנה ברב, נאמר בהכשר סוכה כמפלגה, דמר סבר הכשר סוכה ב-400, ומר סבר הכשר סוכה בהצגת ראשו ולובו ושולחנו, and we're referring to the case of standard סוכה. לא, כולי עמה, could be that הכשר סוכה זה ראשו ולובו ושולחנו. Question over here is, דמר סבר מחזקת ראשו ולובו ושולחנו, פליגי, אבל יותר מראשו ולובו ושולחנו דברי הקוקשרה, מר סבר מראשו ולובו ושולחנו עד 400 פליגי, אבל יותר מ-400 דברי הקוקשרה. מסר. סוכה שגבוה למעלה מ-20 אמה פסולה ורבי יהודה מקשרה עד 40-50 אמה, אומר רבי יהודה מעשה בליני המלכה בלוד, שהייתה סוכתה גבוהה מ-20 אמה, והיו זקנים נכנסים ויוצאים לשם ולא אמרו לה דבר. ברניה, you forgot to give us background on הליני המלכה. You never met a leader. Omer lo, mishom ra'aya, isha ha'ita, uptura min ha'suka. At least we've established that. So we know that she was female. Ve'halor shiva'a banim, which is not true about Malkat Shvah, you know. Ve'halor shiva'a banim ha'yula, ve'od kol ma'aseh lo astam al-pi chachamim. למה לילה מתנה ועוד כל מעשה לא עשתה לה פי חכם? ימר לי כמה לא. וכי תאמנו בנים קטנים היו, קטנים פטורים מן הסוכה. וכיוון דשיבה אבו, אי אפשר לא אבי ברוחד שאינה צורך לאימו. וכי תאמנו קוטט שאינה צורך לאימו מן רבונו למחייבת. ואיו בן רבונו לא משכחה. תשמע, כל מעשה לא עשתה לה פי חכם. זה בישלם למה אני אומר שאין פנות מגיעות לסכך בחלוקת. אוקיי, דרכה של מלכה. לשב בסוכה שאין פנות מגיעות לסכך, משום אווירה. למה אני אומר, בסוכה קטנה מחלוקת, וכי דרכה של מלכה לשב בסוכה קטנה? אומר רבא בר אבא, לא נצחה לסוכה קיתוניות. וכי דרכה של מלכה לשב בסוכה עשויה קיתוניות, and it sounds like a modern office building. אומר רבא שלא נצחה אלא לקיתוניות שבה. Rabbanet Savri, but Neal Besukah Mahal Yave Yatve, and only she would be Yatve Bekitonit, Mishum Tzidiyuta, Mishum Achilo Amrla Davar, because Anisha's Ptura. Rabbi Yudah Savri, but Neal Gaba, Ave Yatve, and nonetheless, Lo Amrula Davar.